What's going on, guys? We just watched the finale of the fourth season of The 100. It's crazy. So much happened. I'm literally blown away. I can't wait to break the whole thing down for you guys right now on AfterBuzz TV. Hang out with us. We'll see you guys in just one second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. It's the end of the
world as we know it.
I know.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. We're here. It's the finale of The 100 season 4. We made it 4 seasons, guys.
We did it.
We didn't even lose any of the major characters this episode. No. Crazy, right?
I mean, besides Jasper, but yes.
That was last episode.
Yeah, that was last
episode. And besides the fact that, like, in the Hunger Games episode, we lost, like, half the characters
in
the show.
That's true. Yeah. Right. That's very true. But yes, this episode, no.
Yeah, it was crazy, right? I was like, somebody's gotta die, but they just...
kept everybody.
What a bizarre episode. I seriously don't even know what to make of what the hell just happened. Like, part of me is like, all right, so we cut out of the bunker storyline after 10 minutes. The whole rest of the episode is getting to space. And then they didn't do the thing we all thought they were going to do, which is just leave us on a cliffhanger. They explained everything and gave us, like, some bizarre new cliffhanger in the final 2 minutes.
Everything.
Well, they explained everything and then they opened a bazillion other questions.
Yeah.
Totally bizarre ending. I really seriously don't know what to make of it. We're going to talk the whole thing through with you guys. I wonder if you feel the same way we feel. If you do, join the chat. I've got A Torres 890 on the other side. Alexis, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. You already said it. Yeah, you can find me all over the interwebs at A Torres 890. And again, I've got so many questions.
She'll be in the chat. She'll be manning. She'll be womaning our social media correspondents.
Depends on the day. Switch it up.
We've got Natalie Dyer. Brandon to the panel just a few weeks ago. She's old chum now. She's rebel scum.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Definitely. You can find me at Natalie Dyer on all social media platforms. And yeah, I'm so excited to talk about this because I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, my thoughts are still just flying.
There's a lot to talk about.
We just finished the episode, so we're like, what's happening?
Minutes ago, literally. Guys, my name is Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media. As we are covering The 100, it's particularly relevant, actually, and I'll just go with a quick plug, because I did the 100th episode of my Action Movie Anatomy podcast on the Popcorn Talk Network earlier today. 100 episodes, 2 years later. Can't believe it. So 100, it was a big day. Very exciting to be here. A lot happening all in this one day. For anybody wondering who's asking, why don't we have a special guest in here? We had an unfortunate rescheduling of our special guest that some of you probably saw on social media had been announced. So that's the reason that we don't have somebody here. It happens in the business all the time. It just is what it is, and that's what we're doing. But it's a good thing that it's the finale because we have tons of content to fill this hour with. There's just so much to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I think we should probably go section by section.
Go for it.
Sure. So let's start this one off. We open up with a radio call between Bellamy and Octavia, which gave us some closure on a part of a relationship that I think had been dangling for a very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Octavia finally said, I love you.
Yeah.
Again.
I love you, big brother. Yeah. I mean, we had been waiting for that to happen for literally years.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that the radio ended up breaking. Or not breaking, but, like, it decided to discontinue.
It was the prime fire that, like, interfered with the radio connections. And
Yeah.
So you didn't get to say it back.
They did something interesting, which is that in that situation, I pretty much expected that Clark, the radio, would have died before Clark's conversation was over with.
Yeah. Right?
It's interesting that Bellamy and Octavia effectively got to have their conversation, but then the radio died after their conversation before Clark had even started hers. It was particularly cruel, I thought.
But I felt like that's what they were kind of building up to, especially with what we got in this episode. I'm just like, maybe Clark isn't gonna make it, or they're gonna pretend like she didn't make it.
Right.
You know?
And she can't talk to her mom and be like, you know, I'm not gonna actually die.
I'm just, you know, just gonna hang out and look beautiful at the end of the episode.
I mean, so much so at the end of the episode that I almost was like, she's dreaming. This has to be a dream. She's dead.
I definitely thought it was.
That's actually a really good idea. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, because
they would never have ended the season with it being a dream. That wouldn't happen.
That's true.
Because that's the worst. That's like the worst in television when it's like, it was all in their head. Welcome back to the next season where nothing we showed you mattered.
Can you imagine if she woke up back on the Ark and she was just in prison still, right. I would have lost my mind. I would have been like, the show, what have you done to me?
What's the famous show? Who shot JR in Dallas, right? That's the famous.
I think so.
Yeah. That's like one of the all-time famous cliffhangers. I think it's Who Shot JR, and I think it's on Dallas. Dallas or Dynasty. But I think like the big cliffhanger in one of those is that it was all a dream.
Oh, Lord.
Like, it's like the all-time famous, like, what the hell moment on TV.
It's also like the biggest cop-out.
Yeah, ever, which... But I don't think that's what this was. It just seemed like it because of how crazy it was. So, yeah, so that conversation happens. It's nice to get that closure between Bellamy and Octavia. And then we cut away to Octavia having to, like, kind of rally the troops inside this arc. They didn't show us any of the grotesque people burning outside of the bunker.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. We just skipped over that. We're just going to work on the now.
I forgot they were even out there, to be honest. You say
kind of crazy to have a finale where they didn't show us, like,
anybody?
Any of the significant characters in the bunker, right? Like, we didn't see Kane, we didn't see Jaha, right. We didn't see Abby. They didn't show us one of them once.
We saw Miller. Yeah. He was almost like an extra in the crowd.
I know, I felt kind of bad.
I know.
But how strange is that, that like they're like, all right, so of all, I mean, I'm sure that there's some deal with series regular number of episodes, not people are getting paid. I'm sure like his, like Miller's inclusion in that scene versus one of the other characters probably has something to do with that. I'm guessing.
Yeah. I mean, it also could just be the fact of just, like, they wanted to give enough time, because they could have technically filmed a bunch of stuff, and they just decided, let's just cut a bunch of it out and just mostly work on our, what, six people? Yeah.
Yeah.
In the ship, because it was the most suspenseful, really.
We also don't know who exactly made it into the bunker.
Correct.
Like, we have the list.
Yeah, and exactly. The walking at the end of the last episode, saved, not saved.
Right.
We kind of got a sense that like the core group's alive.
Right.
Kind of,
but Kane and Jaha could potentially not have stayed in the bunker.
I think Kane did. I don't know about Jaha.
I mean, Jaha's not coming back next season, is what I heard. Right? He's not returning.
Yeah, there's a lot of articles and a lot of tweets that we got after last week's episode saying that Isaiah Washington wasn't going to be in the show next year.
So
maybe he's dead. Maybe he left himself out of the arc.
Right.
Yeah.
They'd have to address that at some point.
They would have to. It was probably somewhere in the writing for next season.
Right.
They're like, oh, he decided, or maybe they just shot that scene and we just haven't seen it yet.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. That interesting stuff. But so, Octavia and Indra, you know, Octavia has a couple good moments there. She's having a conversation, you know, I can't do this. I'm not a leader. And Indra's like, the unrest will turn to violence. I've seen it before. This is no longer what does she say? The time of
commanders is over.
Is over.
The time of the flame is over.
It's your time.
She still gives her the commander.
That, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, she gives her the commander gear to put on her forehead.
Right.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I'm a fan of, but at the same time, I was like, isn't that kind of contradicting yourself just a little bit?
I was thinking the exact same thing the entire time.
Alexis and I both have, like, an actual one of
those. I was going to wear mine today, but my thing broke, so I couldn't bring it with me, and so I don't want to lose it, so I was like, I'm just put this back.
It's from Klexicon. We both got given one, and it's, it's like
I'm
fan
so
art. It's I wish
I got an extra one. I think I can give you one.
I wish I had the name in front of me.
Forever.
I don't have the name in front of me of the fan.
Because I have the picture, too, that she drew for us.
Really
well.
Cool.
Yeah,
really
yeah.
cool. But anyway, yes, so that happens, and that's pretty much the extent of what we get. So Octavia walks into the bunker, and she gives, like, a quick speech. She's just basically like, sometimes it's going to be hard, sometimes we're not going to want to be here, stand with me, and we will rise again. And that's it. That's literally all we get in the bunker this episode.
And then it cuts away.
Shocked.
Is it weird that I was okay with it?
Yeah.
Like, I was totally fine with that. I was like, they're safe.
Right. It was like,
kinda.
We've written them off as safe.
Yeah. I think they got a lot these past couple of episodes, so it's like, oh, let's focus on our group that we started with.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
So we cut away from here, and we will start with Clark not getting to say goodbye to Abby.
Ugh.
Clark definitely got a raw deal this episode.
Yeah, short in the stick on that.
Yeah, for sure. Mm.
A few times.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, she was bummed, and she hugs Bellamy, and...
Got that sweet, sweet zoom on those handholdings.
That
cute little tight embrace. I was like, oh, okay.
But she didn't go to space. So, like, the romance angle that I think we were, like, all sort of seeing, like, they were They've been teasing that Bellark forever in this episode. Yeah. They even have a bit more of it. You've got to use your head, not just your heart. And I've got you for that.
And they even did like the touching of just like, don't use, you have to use this, not this. And I was like, what's happening, CW?
Yeah.
Stop it. I mean, it was adorable, but I just thought it was funny that they were like really poking the Bellark bear.
That was really happening. And you guys were like squirming and kicking each other. Come on.
Because like, we don't mind the Bellark. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it. Like, I don't mind it. I just don't want it where it's like so cheesy that you're like, okay, I actually have to gag now because it was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah, it was just over the top.
I was waiting for like a caress, you know, just like such a fault. Like,
you know, face caress.
Like, that's how close they were to that line. And seriously, I was like, what's happening?
So this all happens. There's a conversation about you have to lead them. If anything happens to me and Bellamy, you know, she's kind of talking Bellamy up, like, you've got to remember to be able to handle this. And in the end, he does, because he makes the decision for them to leave Clark behind, which is obviously him using his head. But before all this happens, there's like a crazy plan that has to get hatched, where Raven's like, there's 19 things in the way. And they're like, tell us about the 20th. She's like, no, that's just the first step. And then there's 19 more things. Like, okay, Raven, what's the next step? She's like, no, there's 19 more things.
After that.
It kind of reminds me of like that I don't know if it's a Family Guy sketch, or there's probably an SNL sketch of it too, where they like, it's like the doctor saying one thing and then they switch it to something else and then back and forth. I think Key and Peele's done stuff like that where it's like, I hate this so much that I love it. And you're like, what is happening? Just tell me what you want. It was an emotional roller coaster. Just that, like, 10-second scene for me.
She's like, a 6-hour launch prep in 90 minutes, but there's more.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
I was like, what a terrible infomercial.
She was saying all of it, like, really technical, and even you could follow along, but then she was also saying, that's so we can live.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just technical jargon. I mean,
and then she had to undercut it again with the whole.
I thought Lindsay Morgan did a great job because she was just spitting out a bunch of stuff. Like, I was like, did she take a breath in that entire monologue that we just got? Because that was insane.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I gave her that.
She's still a genius even without the Matrix inside her head.
Right. Yes. Which she had her little moment where she was like, I'm she not doubted a genius. Herself. Yeah.
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 There was a couple like real easy turnarounds this episode that were reminiscent of the stuff last episode of Jaha, where it's like, this is just a little too convenient. It's a little too easy.
Like, it's like they wanted to build up the drama, but they didn't have the time to pay it off.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I agree.
Raven's like, kill the launch sequence. I don't have it. Bellamy's like, you've saved her ass a lot of times. She's like, start it again.
Yeah.
And it was like so fast. Like, all right. I mean,
I was so confused for a second. I was like, what are we doing right now? Like, is it just because... Like, at first I thought she was going crazy and that maybe she needed everything to be perfect. I didn't realize that it was because she could not make communications with the ring. Like, I did not think of that at all.
Yeah, I think they were short on time this episode. It felt pretty rushed.
Yeah.
A lot of the sequencing. But so everybody gets on board to help each other out. And Echo has her, like, moment of doubt, which they like, tease that it seems like Echo's going to kill people. And
thought that was going to happen.
I thought she was
like, ready to go. Like, she put on the, I don't even know what, the Ice paint. Nation war paint. And I was like, dear God, she's going to murder every single person in the ship.
Which wouldn't have made any sense, but...
She attempted to commit seppuku, and like, I was like, I actually thought that was kind of cool though. The seppuku.
I thought
angle.
That was gonna happen,
right? Yeah, no.
Because I thought that was badass. Because I was like, okay, that's like an old samurai. Mm-hmm. That's like an old samurai thing. And like, okay, this is years later, so it's not that surprising that another warrior nation like the Azgeta would have maybe adopted that as the warrior's death, committing seppuku. Like, I think it's kind of badass. That's lifted from an older culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, and to reference it, and also just like, it really is like a for honor situation where it's like, I don't want to be disgraced, I don't want to be in space and not know what's happening or have any of those like anything to add to this community, so I will, for myself and for these people, do that.
Yeah,
like you said.
Yeah, I know that.
Seppuku.
Yeah, seppuku.
I love that you and I were kind of like,
I want to watch it slowly, like, sink in. The
I was like, ugh. But I like that Raven was like, I don't know, gotta hurry this up. We only got 2 minutes left, and I was like,
I love Raven.
I was like, there were two things. I was like, one, Raven. I'm like, don't rush her. She's got stuff to do. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, that's really nice of you to be like, hey, I don't know what you're doing, but you need to hurry up because we got stuff to do.
Don't know, don't care.
Yeah, I mean,
let's go.
Do what you gotta do. Finish it up. Wrap it up. We gotta go. It was just really funny to me.
So at the same time that this is all happening, Monty and Murphy head out to go find this oxygen generator that can only support two people, but they'll have supplemental oxygen, so it'll work. And they, like, go off running into the wilderness, and, like, you forget. I had forgotten, actually, that Monty and Murphy, like, hadn't really talked. Like, they hadn't really had a relationship for a long time in the show. And that this is, like, the first conversation, because he makes a comment about, you tried to kill Jasper, like, in the first season of the show. Right. You tried to murder him, and then... And then, like, Murphy just, like, makes such a dickhead comment.
But it's Murphy, though. Like, that's just it's how he expect. Rolls. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and it's very much in his personality. I mean, that hurt me because I'm like, we shouldn't be doing this. You guys are on your last day. You guys can all die right now. This is not the time to be.
To fighting.
You know, to fight. Especially about something that clearly we know that Jasper died. Especially about the way that Murphy was talking about him. So, like.
Yeah.
It was very dumb of him to do that. But I'm glad that we got over that so quickly. Because I would have hated animosity this entire time that we're trying to get stuff done.
So let's just reflect for a minute on Jasper's death. Because we talked about it last week, I think, a little bit. We didn't go too deep into it, though.
Yeah.
But looking back on the whole process of Jasper as a character, I have to say that I think his character was totally botched. Looking back at it, I'm just like, they made him so obnoxious for so long. He never had an arc of redemption. He just was obnoxious and annoying and, like, mopey and, like, always...
You're meaning after season...
After the death of Maya, he became, like, when he was, like, sulking and moping and grieving, like, they just took that character and they just made him, like, he was just, like, a flat line of, like, really obnoxious until this last part of this last season where he was just like, I'm gonna be part of the crew that just, like, drinks and then dies. And then he kills himself. He basically commits suicide drinking this tea. And I thought the payoff was really, really minimal because I was just like, that's the character you guys chose to kill, but you kept them around like an entire extra season. I don't know. I just like looking back at it, I just don't think that his arc was very satisfying. I think that was a pretty wasted character to keep around in the show as a main for, what, 4 seasons?
Yeah, he didn't really pose any sort of like conflict for the most part besides like Monty wanting him to live and Bellamy wanting him to live and all those other situations.
He was just kind of antagonistic in a lot of ways, right?
I mean, it's really tough for me because, it was hard because I know that I really didn't like Jasper in the beginning because, especially after the grieving, just because he seemed that he just wanted to push everyone away by being an asshole pretty much.
Right.
But at the same time, I guess because I've known people or I've been through it myself as with loss that you just become a totally different person and some people become people that that would never happen. Like, like it was just this nice kid pretty much became this like numb person who pretty much pushed everyone away. Yeah, it became a kind of a shell. And then eventually he just kind of hit a wall and was just like, you know what? I'm tired of feeling pretty much. Yeah. I'm just going to just do me. And his send off was rough, at least for me. So I don't really have an opinion on that because I'm kind of biased because I've been in his shoes before where I just thought this is it after losing somebody and just, you know, letting it go. I mean, I didn't go the same way he did clearly because I'm still here.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know. It's tough because I've been kind of in the same boat with you where I'm like, oh, man, I don't know why he's being such a jerk. And in the last two episodes, I was like, oh, there it is. I got it now. It all makes sense to me. And then I just kind of let him have his send-off and moved on. So I'm in the middle.
It's one of those I see merit with what they did with the character because it's definitely an underrepresented, you know.
Yeah, I wanted more for him in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can see why it doesn't feel like it paid off.
Yeah.
It was a very, very long-winded storyline that is hard to understand why it dragged on an extra season. When you look back at it, like, okay, the only relationship that really had consequence with him was Monty because they were best friends. And just tell me you love me, Monty, was a good line. And his death is sad in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, in the second to last episode of a show, very often one of the main characters bites it. That's a thing that happens.
Right. Mm.
So for them to get to that point and make that sort of like the big one for the episode, to me, was a little bit like, I think we were all surprised he had been alive this long. Like, it seemed like, you know how they never built him back up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They never gave you a reason to like him again. So I thought that was really interesting. And looking back at the way that they talk in the scene, Murphy and,
Monty.
I was gonna say you didn't like his music selections because let's be real, Jasper walked into like many episodes throughout the like his entire run and would have a cool
song.
That he was, like that's a good Violent point. Femmes and the I Don't Like Mondays and just like fun songs
right.
that, you know,
sure.
he always brought kind of some life back to the yeah. episode a little bit through
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was always my favorite part about Jasper.
It's true. Yeah. His music did add something to the show.
Yeah. I did miss his quirky character for a while because we haven't yeah. had it for two seasons. So I definitely agree with you
he
on
was
that.
Such a goofball season one. It
was yeah. like... You know, especially after being, you know, skewed by a random spear. Yeah. Like, it's
well,
just...
I think we all know, you know, he was supposed to die in the first episode.
Right.
And then
yeah.
and then I also had heard that he was supposed to die at the end of last season.
Oh. Yes, yeah, so what we thought was going to happen. It was kind of building up to that. And then we're like, oh, all right.
Which I think they decided to keep him around because they had two pretty major character deaths towards the end of the
they
season
did.
That were impactful. And I guess it was like, let's stay away from another one.
Yeah, right. I don't know if anybody would have been too happy if they lost Lexa. I was going to say Ricky Whittle. Lincoln and Jasper. That's
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so looking back, but the conversation that they have where he's like, he took the easy way out, Monty gets pretty pissed about that.
Yeah. They because kind of, he should.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a yeah. shitty thing to say.
Yeah.
And so then they get to this, like, oxygen generator that they have to piece together, and Monty's like, I'm just going to, we have to do it, so I'm just going to take it on my hands, you know? And his hands just, like, immediately start disintegrating. That's so crazy to imagine that, like, a level of radiation mm-hmm. so high that if you just took off a mask or you took, like, within 15 seconds, your hands would just be, like, disintegrating.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That was gross.
Just blisters. It's,
yeah.
yeah
no, and the mm-hmm. fact that he was trying to carry something heavy and put pressure on it?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yep. But then on the way back, we get this great conversation where Murphy's like, tell me about Harper.
He's trying to distract him.
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
so
yeah.
nice of
it
him.
Was. Yeah. It was like, oh.
He told her, you love her yet? He's like, yeah, I have. I've told her. It yeah. changes everything, right?
And then just passed out.
I
was really scared he was going to fall into that lake that was next to him.
Like the river thing.
Yeah, because
yeah.
that's full of pretty much acid water, period. So yeah. I was like, please don't fall in that. That would suck.
That yeah. would be.
Did you guys think that Murphy was going to take Monty or take the machine?
Machine. The stakes are too high at this point to save
yeah.
one
yeah.
of their friends. It would seem very unrealistic that anybody in the situation they were in
right.
would leave the oxygen generator. Like, that's...
Yeah. I was questioning whether or not he would actually come back for him.
Yeah.
That was my only...
Nah, I think Murphy has really pulled himself
like,
together.
Well, yeah,
but
also,
you.
Like, if there was no time...
Yeah, like, they're just like, we're gonna leave him there.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, we left Clark, so I get that.
Right.
Everybody's expendable at this point. So they pack yeah. up the oxygen generator. They sort of. Murphy gets it back, and they get it back, and the whole plan starts like being executed. And
yeah.
Clark is like, "I got to go deal with this the satellite tower because otherwise we're not going to make contact." And she's like, "Oh, of course, you know, Manuel." You gotta
that
do
was,
it, man.
That was rough.
Wait, Raven explains you have to have 10 minutes to get back, and she, like, Clark gets there and she's got 11 minutes and 45 seconds or
right.
something like that. So she had
like,
a minute and 45 to align the satellites in
I
about
thought
that
like
time.
I thought it was 13-14 minutes, like 14:30 or 13:40.
No, it was 11.
It
was 11:45.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, she has a minute 40. Or,
yeah.
I don't know if it was
because
exactly 45, but it was...
No, because she, as soon as she plugged in the machine and she realized you had to manually look at it, she looked at her watch and it said 10 minutes. And I was like...
Yep, because she, like,
oh my gosh,
she's walking up. She's still a good 100 or 200 feet away from
yeah.
the tower.
Yeah, and it's at 11 something, yeah.
Which I guess is why her mask breaks and she gets burned and, like... I guess what would have happened is that if the Nightblood wasn't working, like,
mm-hmm.
I guess that's to suggest the Nightblood works, right?
Yes.
Because
yes.
if the Nightblood
yeah.
didn't work, she would just be dead. Or she would have probably died faster out there, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
or the fact of just, like, I mean, I don't know how far she was from the lab, but...
10 minutes.
Well, I mean, I don't know at that point because she fell off.
That's true.
Because we didn't see her get down from the tower.
No,
she was already running and then she fell, broke her helmet, and then like tried to patch it with her own glove and was like, you know,
right.
hauling ass.
That's true. I think she was fairly close because I'm pretty sure it cut to her basically like it like
because,
panned around and she was walking up to the bunker at that point.
Yeah, because at that point the Prime Fire was like right behind her. If
right.
she waited like a couple of seconds, she would have died.
Right.
Mm.
So I don't know, man. That was insane.
I mean, I think Raven's whole thing about 10 minutes is 10 minutes to get back safely. So she didn't get back safely.
She
was chased by the Prime Fire.
I mean, it probably took her 10 minutes to get up that satellite.
They were
please.
In like 2 feet of snow. It's hard to walk in 2 feet
let
of snow.
Let alone run.
It's not well explained. It's
No. We're working on TV time, right?
Fair enough.
So, a minute's like 10 minutes.
But so Clark is up on this thing trying to manually, trying to like manually get the signal to go because they take off in the jet, in the space shuttle, in the pod.
The rocket.
The word I was looking for. They get up to space and Raven's like, got a spacewalk. I was thinking about this. So the anti-grav with Raven flying around. Uh-huh. So what do we think? Is that her on cables and they CGI remove the cables and that's how they do it? Or did they actually do some sort of weightless...
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
I wonder how hard it is to create weightlessness.
I mean, there was definitely green screen for sure because they showed pictures of her with her suit on. She definitely said that suit weighed at least 80 to 85 pounds on her plus her weight. So she was like, this is the heaviest thing I've ever. Like, ugh. So I'm assuming that if it's with green screen, it would have to be wires.
I was going to say, I think it's wires and cables because I believe the few ways you can make like zero gravity is you go up in a plane and they basically drop the plane for
and then just
a few hundred feet, and that would be really expensive to do.
Can't you do like a vacuum tube like thing like they do at NASA? That's probably like millions of dollars.
I'm not sure.
And I don't think the vacuum tube still wouldn't make it a weightlessness. It'd be like I think the only way you can make it truly weightless is if you do that, or if you're like in the ocean and
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, and you can tell if you really look closely, especially when they get to when she goes, "You're in zero gravity, baby," and she starts flipping switches. You see people kind of pretending that like their arms are floating, but you can totally tell because as soon as like I think it was like Bellamy who like touched his mask, he did it normally. He was just like, "Nah."
Gotcha.
And I was like, no, you would have been like, and push. Yeah.
So I'm just like totally ignorant about this whole weightlessness thing. I got schooled on the after show. Thanks, Natalie. You're fired.
I would keep you ducked down.
She'll just zero gravity out. I think you're right. I think that there was wires involved. I just don't know how much wires were involved or if that was just all effects.
The other good point or like good way to tell is that she only ever flipped forward or backward. It was never like a sideways. You know, it was just a straight up, I'm going to do a somersault, which means there's probably wires attached to her hands.
Yeah. She's like, I love that you and I were both like freaking out because both, what was it, Amori and Echo were both like, what? To the zero gravity, like her, like Amori's face was just like, oh my god.
Echo's face was great too. Yeah. She was
It was just so fascinating. Everybody else was just kind of like, okay, are we done yet? Can we go? And they're just like, oh my god.
I want to, this is something that's not ever going to be explained, but I love that they get onto the arc and instantly, like, the gravity's working again.
Yeah, right.
Because everything's fine.
Sure.
Like, they can't get, like, they have power, they can open the doors, but they can't get the oxygen running.
And then apparently oxygen is not, as long as it's like 2 seconds into the actual hangar, we're like, everything's fine, now I can breathe. I was like, is that how science works? I love that you brought that up. You were like, I don't think that's how that works.
But I was just thinking my sister would be so mad. She's a nurse. She'd be like, that is not science. That's not how it works.
But I was a little worried because of the fact, I know that we're kind of jumping around, but fact of just like the oxygen tanks, we were running out at that point and they were just like, slowly starting to pass out, and I was like, this is it. I don't know what we're gonna do now. And then
Clark's gonna die, they're all gonna die.
I thought it would be a really like
season
like,
five's canceled.
What is happening?
We're only gonna be dealing with the bunker period.
That's exactly it.
All the mains are gone. No, I don't think they would do that, but it was very interesting to see. And obviously, we needed to get them back on their feet really quickly, so why not through oxygen through the air vents?
So Raven spacewalks, she gets out to the ship, and Clark actually executes. She gets the signal sent. They get into the ship, and it's exciting, and everybody's jubilant.
Except for Bellamy. He was feeling pretty guilty about leaving Clark.
Yeah.
I think Raven was, too.
I think everybody was.
Everybody was, but I definitely mainly on Bellamy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Because he was like, I left her. I left her. And we're like, you had to.
So let's get through this so we can get to this ending part of the episode.
Oh, my God. It's getting insane.
So, on the actual, is it Polaris? Is that what they were on? No, what's the thing they connect? It's not the Ark. It was designed to connect with Polaris, I thought they said.
I thought so. I missed that part.
Yes, they're the rocket.
The rings. They're on the ring.
I've been calling it. It's the ring.
Yeah, and so they're there, and they get the oxygen working, and it's wonderful, and we're all good. So now we're in the ring, and we're living for 5 years. And that's where we leave that off. And then we flash forward 6 years and 7 days, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we all thought there was a time jump. We all agreed last week the time jump was
we
likely.
We did.
I think I wouldn't have expected them to show us anything forward
no,
in the time
no,
jump.
No, I would have been fine if they just went to black and just moved on. I mean, everybody would have been upset, but like, I feel like it would have been kind of cool to have a cliffhanger like that.
Yeah. I would have, 6 or 7 days later, and then you show like an eye open, and then go to credits or something. That's like what I expected was going to happen.
Right. No, we got the full thing. We got it. We got a new Clark with a new hairdo and some red highlights.
And a child.
So let's just break down what the hell happened in the last 3 minutes of this show, because this is the one part of the episode that's just like. That to me felt like okay, you have this perfectly designed puzzle of like what's going to happen, and then you're like, all right, just sticky note something on the top of the puzzle. Like, wait, that's not a piece. That's a sticky note. Like, no, just put the sticky note on top. We'll get to it later.
Cover the patch.
I think what happened, at least this is just my opinion and my theory, is that they did end it on maybe like her eyes opening and then leaving it at that, but they didn't know if they were going to get renewed for another season.
Oh, sure.
So maybe they're like, you know what? Let's do a reshoot and add that time jump into that just to show, like, hey, we got new people we got to deal with. Because we've been talking about it, you know, when Tari was here, that we always find out kind of who our new villain is or our new threat is, that we kind
of
got it.
At the very end of
At the very end of this episode.
So, all right.
That's a really good point, actually.
Like, it makes sense, because, like, the way that it was coming up, it would have been perfect for them if they didn't know that they were getting renewed to leave it at that.
Yeah.
I mean, again, and fans would have rioted, but you never know.
Eliza had the pink hair, which you were...
For Thumper, right?
Yeah.
For Thumper, and that then she had dyed hair in this.
Yeah.
Yep.
So and maybe short, she had her hair, dyed and short.
So maybe her hair was still short and dyed. They just changed it from pink to red just because they were going to do a reshoot of this ending for...
Yeah, for
the renewal.
For my money, the issue with the ending was just that, like, it felt unnecessary to introduce, like, so much stuff. Like, okay, so Clark opens her eyes, and, like, the first thing I notice as they're pulling away is her skin looks incredibly clear. Her face looks made up. She looks like she's,
it's
like, dressed.
Nightblood.
She's dressed in, like...
The nightblood was just, like...
And the radiation.
Yeah.
She's dressed in, like, pretty cool clothing.
Dude, her outfit was on point.
Awesome.
Everything.
And she's like hanging, and she's like on this radio, and she's like, okay, it's been 6 years, it's over a year since you guys could have come down, we tried digging them out, so you're like, okay, we, so something, and then she references this kid, this Maddie, which, right, it's a guy or a girl?
I think it was a girl.
I thought it was a girl too, but
I could be wrong. I saw long hair, but that could mean anything.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, because we didn't get to look at Maddie's face the entire time, so I couldn't really see it. If anybody in the chat wants to throw it in there, go for it. I'm assuming, because clearly she hasn't slept with anybody in a while, and it hasn't been 9 months. it's been 6 years, but you know what I mean? Like, that girl looks like she's 12. So, I'm going to assume that that's not hers.
It's not her job. That was my first thought, though.
Yeah, I was
Instantly, I was like, oh, God, there's a child.
Whose baby is that?
Did she say my little nightblood?
Yeah.
Is that what she said?
Yes. So that's what I think. I think that maybe when the radiation slowly was kind of disintegrating or whatever the hell you want to call it, she went out to explore and she found her
at some point.
Like somebody, like another, like maybe one of these like Nightblood children.
Yeah,
like still living, like wasn't murdered.
Yeah, right. Maybe she ran away during that murder spree and got away.
Or she wasn't like discovered, because they weren't brought to be trained until they were discovered.
Yeah,
so if she had never bled before, then they wouldn't have known that she was.
They would have never known that she was. But, I mean, at the same time, I don't know where she could have been hiding this entire time.
Yeah.
But, again, I guess we'll find out next season. Maybe she, you know, I don't know if Mount Weather. No, Mount Weather's not still around.
So some So maybe, like, the return of the commander kind of a thing, and you have a natural Nightblood or something. But it kind of seems like the time of the Nightblood is over, so I can't see that happening. But, so anyway, Clark says this. She sees a ship, a transport ship that says Allegius Corporation.
It was a girl.
Prisoner transport. It was a girl.
Okay. Yeah, everybody in the in the chat says it's a girl.
And I've never met a guy named Maddie before, but like Matt D, T T Y.
Yeah. But this one's M A D I.
Yeah, so I think Maddie. So Allegius Corporation prisoner transport is what we see, and the ship is coming down. So we haven't gotten back our people on the ring, and this is like some new spaceship transporting prisoners. We don't know if this is a big deal or bad yet, but it's a prisoner transport ship, at least we know that.
So aliens.
My mind automatically goes to aliens,
because I'm like, I mean, that would be kind of cool to implement that. Mass Effect thing with like different species of alien.
Yeah.
You think the Allegius Corporation prisoner transport is gonna be aliens?
I don't know, man. I don't know why they'd be bringing humans to Earth after what just happened.
It reminds you of the Alien films, like obviously, like the corporation, the name is blanking on right now, but like it's the corporation that's always like searching for aliens on these planets, always putting Sigourney Weaver in trouble situations.
I just don't know what we can do, because we've already had to deal with everybody who was on Earth at this point in time,
yeah.
or is on Earth at this point. So it's like, okay, what would your next villain be if we technically wiped out most of this area or the Earth or whatever the hell you want to call it? Do we just, we obviously got to bring someone from a different planet.
Everyone's clearly. Dead. So all you're going to have, yeah, is exactly. You're going to have Clark, presumably, who's on the ring and who's in the bunker. And that's going to be the new world. And 6 years, is that all it would take? Like, do we think that that's legitimate? That if there was a nuclear holocaust, that 5 years later, the world would be good?
No, I don't think so. But I don't know, because clearly we don't know how the Earth was when they went up to space for era, however long that was, and then came back. I'm not a scientist, so I have no idea.
I mean, I feel if there's a nuclear apocalypse, and it literally destroyed the entire surface of the Earth, the, like, likelihood of something growing again.
Yeah.
And the fact, like, that it was all in one section,
because it would destroy all
too.
The seeds, and it would... So unless that little section, for whatever reason, was protected from...
You think
from,
Clark might have done
but
it?
But remember
maybe
though...
Maybe replanted seeds from the lab?
Maybe.
The world had already had a nuclear holocaust. Remember that all of these people, like the people on Earth,
Grounders.
Their blood, they'd become right. more resilient. So I think you have to assume all the vegetation, all of the life on Earth...
Yeah, I had a problem with that in the first place.
Yeah,
I think the okay. plants would have survived the original one anyway.
Gotcha, yeah.
So it's I don't, yeah, but you... Fair, like...
Resilience. They all yeah. were stronger and more, yeah, resilient to
right.
radiation and such.
Yeah.
I guess. So, So, yes, we Clark, Maddie, this prisoner transport ship, and that's literally where we end. And that's the end of season 4.
Oh, boy.
So shot out of a cannon, guys, where do you stand on this ending, and how do you feel about the show going forward? Like, be honest. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I mean, a lot of people in the chat are saying that, you know, it's got to be Martians or aliens or something. And some people are like, please tell me that's not where we're going with this. Mm-hmm. That sounds terrible. I'm also kind of in the middle, because I'm like... I don't think this would be great, but I also am down for a lot of special effects makeup, so I'd love to see some sort of alien hybrid. Mm. Like, I think it would look so cool, because I'm just a fan of Mass Effect and other things, and I want it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's either that, or before the original nuclear holocaust, there was a, you know, or apocalypse, or whatever you want to call it, there was a, like, you know, a WALL-E ship that was sent out.
Yeah.
And now they're coming back from their investigations of the universe.
Yeah, maybe they saw the Prime Fire happen. They're like, oh, and then maybe they're monitoring it, and they're like, okay, I think it's time to come back.
It is a prisoner ship.
That's why I don't understand.
There were so many callbacks to season 1 in this episode, though, because you have Bellamy talking to Octavia about Greek mythology, which is something they did in the very first season, and then it dropped.
Yep.
You never hear from it about it again.
Yep.
You have... a ship drop with prisoners. You have Murphy talking to Monty about killing or trying to kill Jasper in season 1. And so there's a lot of clapbacks, like a lot of them.
There were. Somebody, who was this in the chat? I'll make it somehow in the chat says there's an interview with JR that says they're prisoners from some mining facility returning to Earth.
Got it. Okay. Prisoners from some mining facility returning to Earth.
So,
but do we know if possibly, maybe, our characters on the ring are on the same ship? Like, is it possible they couldn't get back to Earth from the ring, and that's with how they got back? Possibly.
Well, that ship is pretty well equipped. That they're landing with.
Yeah.
It has like actual thrusters.
Yeah,
and
right.
Yeah, like it's clearly something that like these guys have their stuff together. But apparently, everybody in the chat is saying the same thing, that these are prisoners, like actual prisoners who are being sent from a colony, from a mining colony, who are coming back.
Gotcha.
Which is interesting, because I'm like, so were they mining other places? Or were they mining on Earth, left, and then came back?
Hmm.
Like, they knew, in a few years, like, this was going to happen, so they had to leave.
Yeah.
I don't know. Then they decided to come back when Prime Fire was done.
I think that my feeling on the show at this point, at the end of the season, was that I did not like that ending. I thought that ending was kind of a letdown, kind of a weird letdown, and a strange decision, honestly, by the show to make. I just, like, thinking about it, I don't know why. I don't know why we had to do that. That seemed very unnecessary.
But I guess it's like, what do you do after if you don't introduce a whole bunch of new characters? Do we just continue living? I'm just curious.
I guess, like, next season... So, I mean, I can see the idea of a teaser, but... Again, like, for no... The major character that died was Jasper. So it brings me back to the same point that I had, which is, like, the ending of this season didn't feel like it was that exciting. It felt like it was a lot of build-up to the third and fourth to last episodes. The Hunger Games episode was the best episode of the season.
Yeah.
That's, like, where it was the most exciting. And then it crested, and I feel like they didn't really know how to end it very well.
Right,
yeah.
Like you said, it felt very rushed. It felt like there was a lot jammed into this last episode. So, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what the hell they're going to do in the fifth season. Yeah.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, so that's where I sit with it. I'm glad it's not aliens. I'm glad it's a mining colony.
I mean, me too, but my mind automatically went to aliens.
Yeah.
When I saw
no,
the
same
ship.
Here, man. Yasheed Brown said Clark woke them up and effed us again.
Yeah.
I could totally see Clark doing something like that, just being like,
well,
what?
Yeah, because she was radioing every
she
day.
She was the one who was raining. Oh my God, we got to make her shut up. We've done 6 years of this. We're done. We're telling her to be quiet now.
Yeah.
Coming over to send all the prisoners.
So I think that we just kind of do predictions without announcing predictions.
Yeah.
I think we just kind of did.
I think we did.
Yeah. So I think that's going to wrap us up, guys. I think that's going to take us out of our last episode of the fourth season of the 100 After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We appreciate all of the comments. We appreciate everybody in the chat. Alexis, where can the folks find you?
You guys can find me all over the interwebs at atores890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. Catch me on my last few shows here on AfterBuzz TV because a lot of them are ending, like today. But you can also find more stuff from me from a new podcast company I'm working for called TrendPunks.com. You can find them on Facebook.com/TrendPunks. I will be doing a bunch of shows there. We have Cinema Punks, Designated Drinker, which is a beer show, and then my actual adult show called Batteries Not Included.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I really got to remember to look that up.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's not releasing until June 11th, so we have plenty of time.
Cool. Natalie Dyer, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr and all those fun places at Natalie Dyer, NataleeDyer.
Cool.
And, yeah.
You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. This show is over, so is Riverdale. So the shows I'm doing right now, you can find me on Sunday nights doing American Gods. And as soon as that ends, I'll be doing Preacher.
Nice.
And on Action Movie Anatomy on the Popcorn Talk Network every single Wednesday at 12:30. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, guys. Find us on Twitter. Interact. Let us know what you think. We'll see you next season.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Again.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.